Never know when to call a halt, do you, Simon?
Oh, come on, Paula. Where's your spirit of adventure?
On the floor of that bookmaker's office with all the torn race cards. You know how I feel about gambling. It's a mug's game.
A mug's game, yes, sure. I've heard it all before.
Well, it's a pity you didn't listen to me.
But it's only money, Paula. What's money for if it's not to be spent?
Spend, yes. Not throw down the drain like old tea leaves.
Well, who says... Well, you'd soon change your tune if I happen to win a couple of thousand.
The only way to get a couple of thousand is to work for it. Now, if you were to spend your money on something worthwhile...
Like what, for instance?
Well, like an antique, for instance. Out of that shop window.
Where?
There. Oh, look, Simon, isn't it a quaint old place? Let's take a look round.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Tales of Antiquity. We present Tales of Antiquity, stories of the romantic past, captured through the eyes and ears of Eustace Glean, collector extraordinary.
The new Gillette G2 razor has twin blades, one behind the other in a sealed cartridge. The first blade shaves you close, the second shaves you again, closer. The new Gillette G2, the greatest shaving advance since the safety razor.
To discover why the whole world sold on Benson & Hedges Gold, ask for B&H. Then open the golden case and examine the golden Virginia tobaccos. Now light up and experience the golden taste of Benson & Hedges special filter cigarettes. Near or far, no matter where in the world you are, you're only moments from discovering why the whole world sold on Benson & Hedges Gold.
Now, Paula, where do you think you're going? We're going to be late.
We're late anyway, thanks to your fetish for the GGs.
Well, there's no need to be any later. Jack and Sue will be waiting for us. You know how Jack gets if he has to wait about for his lunchtime drink.
Did you didn't think of that earlier, Simon? Startled you, did I? I know. But let me introduce myself. Eustace Glean, at your service.
How do you do, Mr. Glean? We're...
Simon and Paula Chattel. Yes, I know.
Well, I'll be... How did you know?
Oh, Eustace Glean knows everything. But come over here, won't you? I've something I think might amuse you. Do you see what it is?
It's a small figurine. Looks like a Dutch girl holding a bowl, is it?
Oh, it's a Jungfrauenbeck, actually. Sort of marriage cup.
Indeed, Mr. Jarrell, you're almost correct. To be truly accurate, one would say a wager cup of the Jungfrauenbecker type, made in England in 1827 by Mr. John Aintle. Silver gilt. But full marks. Do you also know its use?
Yes, as a matter of fact. My grandfather had one. Heaven knows what became of it. It was used as a sort of marriage cup. The bowl the girl's holding above her head swivels. It was filled with liquor which the bridegroom drank, and the figurine was then upended, and the inside of the long skirt formed another cup from which the bride then drank. The art was not to spill any.
For the more wine spilt, the more tears there were to be shed. But the two receptacles could be filled instantaneously, in which case wagers were placed, hence the name, and the contestants endeavour to drink from both cups, one after the other, without tilting.
How amazing. May I see, Mr. Glean?
By all means. Here.
What a lovely little piece. I'd love to... Well, Mr. Sellier, I do declare that's the cleverest bit of trickery I ever did see. And do people really wager with a toy like that? Well, I do declare.
Commencing its journey at Lake Itasca in Minnesota, the mighty Mississippi River meandered its way through 2,348 miles of the North American interior, providing a linking waterway for innumerable towns and cities from Minneapolis in the north, through Davenport, St. Louis, and Memphis, down to old New Orleans on the Gulf of Mexico in the deep south. But it wasn't until the introduction of the paddle steamers from 1811 onwards that the river became a truly prosperous proposition. And then, prior to the American Civil War, another type of vessel was seen upon the great river, the Mississippi showboats. Introduced principally as great floating theaters, they quickly attracted types from all walks of life whose needs were quickly realized and provided for. To the huge floating hulks, as well as the traditional music halls, were added such diversions as menageries, sun pavilions, saloons, and private suites for those who could afford them. In the year 1857, a young southern couple, Bella and Jeffrey Winkert, were celebrating their honeymoon with a trip from New Orleans to St. Louis. The busy waterfront was a veritable hive of hustle and bustle. As the young lovers made their way up the companionway, they were greeted by the purser.
Good day to you, ma'am. Sir, Dale Polly, purser, at your service.
How do you do?
And you are?
Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey Winkert.
Mrs., is it? My, but you look too young to be a married lady, ma'am, if I might make so bold.
Only just, Mr. Polly, sir.
How's that?
Oh, we only got wed yesterday morning, sir.
Is that so? Well, now, you must be the honeymoon couple the captain was telling me to watch out for.
I guess so.
Well, then, no need to be asking for your boarding pass, Mr. Winkert. You'll be in the bridal suite.
Bridal suite? Why, Jeffrey Winkert, you never told me you'd gone ahead and booked us in the bridal suite. Uh-huh. Well, I do declare.
Let me escort you personally, Miss Winkert.
Spending all that money on a suite, Jeffrey. Don't you think?
Hush now, Bella. Why, hush.
And there you are. Everything you could possibly need.
Oh, but Mr. Polly, look. Someone's left this bottle behind.
Yes, Miss Winkert, the captain, with his compliments. And now I think I best be getting back on deck. We can't stop in just a few minutes, and there's still things to be done. Besides which, I got the feeling I might just be overstaying my welcome.
Oh, I know,
now, don't you be holding up the gentleman anymore, Bella. Mr. Polly's got work to do.
Yes,
but... Thank you most kindly, Mr. Polly. Don't let us detain you any further.
Then I'll see you at the captain's table for supper. Now, don't you be letting that champagne get warm.
Champagne? Is that champagne?
Why, Bella? Certainly is. Oh, and all the way from France, too.
France, Europe?
The very same.
Well, I declare, that captain must be nothing less than a real gentleman.
There we are. Glasses, Bella, quick.
Oh, goodness. Oh, just look at all them tiny bubbles.
Well, Mrs. Winkert, will you be drinking to our happiness?
Why, certainly, Mr. Winkert. Our happiness. The bubbles tickle my nose.
And such a pretty little nose and all.
There. Oh, Jeffrey Winkert, I don't know what's worse. You or the bubbles.
Why, Mr. and Mrs. Winkert, welcome to our team.
Good evening, Captain. So sorry we're late.
Yeah, we have things to... Well, we were busy, Captain.
Well, now, I'm sure these gentlemen will excuse a little unpunctuality on your first day aboard.
Of course.
Now, there are your places. The lady on my right and you, sir, on my left. Now, I'm Captain Rexall. This is Monsieur Cillier. Over there you have Mr. Paladine. And, gentlemen, these are Mr. and Mrs. Winkert.
How do you do?
Now, may I carve you a little meat to help yourselves to vegetables?
Thank you.
And where are you good people heading, might I ask?
Alton, north of St. Louis.
My husband has some property there.
That's right.
Alton, it is a good place, monsieur. The land is very good around Alton. Things grow well.
You talk like a farmer, Mr. Cillier.
A farmer? Oh, me? Oh, look at my hands, monsieur. Would you call these the hands of a farmer?
Well, mercy me. If you don't have the softest looking hands I ever did see on a man.
What kind of work gives a man hands like that, Mr. Cillier?
Gambling.
Gambling?
Oui, I am the card player. Oh, don't look so shocked, madame. I am an honest card player.
Well, I do declare.
And what's your occupation, Mr. Wincott?
Why, Mr. Paladin, we've only been married a day.
But, Mrs. Wincott, that's not an occupation, that's a pleasure.
You wouldn't say so, Mr. Paladin, if you knew my wife.
There. Oh, my goodness.
Please, gentlemen, please. Do you not see we embarrass the lady?
You're quite right, Monsieur Cellier. Pass your plate, Mrs. Wincott. Let me help you
there.
To some meat.
Gentlemen, will you excuse me?
Oh, why?
Well, now, what do you suppose... Bella!
Hey, Bella!
Bella, the gentleman meant no harm.
No doubt, Jeffrey Wincott, no doubt. All the same, I'll never be able to look them in the face again.
But why?
Why? You sitting right there beside me, laughing alongside everybody else, and you ask me why? And you can just get right down on your bended knees and apologize.
Oh. All right.
No, not now. I want a little time to be angry first. I'm going back to our suite. I'll let you know, Jeffrey Wincott, when.
But Bella.
No, just you stand there.
My pardon, madame.
Why, Mr. Cellier, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you standing there.
Oh, it is my fault. I just came to apologize
you,
for the...
You, Mr. Cellier. You were the only gentleman who didn't laugh at me.
Well, all the same, I should like to apologize. But one thing first.
Yes, Mr. Cellier.
Would you be so kind as to step off my foot?
What? Oh, mercy me, your foot.
Oh, très bien, madame. A most beautiful night, is it not?
Why, it's the finest night I ever did see.
And such a moon.
Too. See? It's reflected in the water there.
But I see three.
Hmm?
The other is reflected in your eyes. Such beautiful eyes. Green, are they not?
Well, mercy me. How can you possibly see?
Oh, I noticed them over the dinner table. And your fair hair. With the moon, it looks almost silver. Yes, a beautiful night. And an even more beautiful woman. Belong to another. A night such as this was made for lovers. Oh, I should like to sweep you into my arms and hold you close.
Mr. Cellier?
Kiss you passionately, but unfortunately...
Mr. Cellier, pardon me, but I thank you.
Unfortunately, this may not be so. So instead, I kiss your most beautiful...
Mr. Cellier!
There. Does your husband never... where is your husband, madame?
Right behind you, Mr. Cellier.
Right be... Monsieur Wincott, I did not see you standing there in the shadows.
You have a glove, Mr. Cellier.
Glove? No, I'm afraid I... what do you want with it?
I was about to challenge you to a duel. Never mind. This'll do instead.
The NBS have just made 90,000 taxpayers smile. We've sent out our half-yearly dividend checks to happy investors all over the country. And the reason they're smiling is that NBS dividends promise big tax savings. Let the NBS give you high interest rates with big tax savings. Invest with confidence. The NBS, one of the big four and still growing.
Why are so many people turning to Weet-Bix to keep slim, fit, and full of life? Because wheat is nature's wonder food, the richest of all grains. And Weet-Bix is all wheat, not just a great breakfast, a recommended health food to enjoy at all times, every day, so many ways.
You get so much from Weet-Bix, 'cause you get so much from wheat.
Have no dueling on board my steamer, Monsieur Cellier. Do you understand that, sir?
Oh, but yes, Captain. But it is not I who am wishing this, but Monsieur Wincott here.
Now, what is this, Mr. Wincott?
I caught this man messing with my wife, Captain.
Messing? Messing? What is this messing? I do not mess, Monsieur.
He was messing. Why, I saw you with my very own eyes.
You lie, Monsieur. I was...
Lie? Why, you...
No.
All right. You hear me now. Now, stop. Just a cotton picking minute. That's better. Now, Monsieur, if you've been a-messing with this gentleman's wife, then he's got every right to knock the apple sauce out of you.
That's right, Captain.
Not on my steamer. Did you hear?
But, Captain, I was not doing the messing. I was paying the lady a compliment. A simple kiss on the hand. Oh, where's the crime in that?
Well, none, as far as I can see. Mr. Wincott, do you mean to tell me you come into my cabin and demand to use my pistols, shoot a man down in cold blood, just because he kissed your wife's hand?
He did more than kiss her on the hand, Captain.
Oh. Well, where else did you kiss the lady, Monsieur Cellier?
Nowhere. I said she was beautiful, which she is. That her eyes were green, which they are.
Blue.
What?
Her eyes are blue, not green.
Green.
Blue.
Green.
Blue.
Oh, you're colorblind, monsieur.
All right, gentlemen. So the lady has one green eye and one blue. I see no cause to get all hot around the collar over that. Seems to me you two gentlemen are mighty excitable. Now, surely you can think of some way to sort your differences without resorting to violence.
Well, I would be most happy to forget the whole incident and become the friends once more.
You're a coward, mister. And if there's one thing I can't stand, it's a coward.
Not at all, monsieur. It is simply that I do not wish to see bloodshed, especially my own.
Might I make a suggestion, gentlemen? Are you a sporting man, Mr. Wincott?
Well, I...
Good. So why not challenge Monsieur Cellier to a game of poker? You do play poker.
Of course, Captain, but...
Oh, I do not think that is fair, Captain. After all, I am the expert.
You're saying you're a better card player than me, mister?
It is my living, monsieur.
Well, so long as you don't cheat, I'll knock you into a cocked hat playing poker.
I do not cheat, monsieur.
Yeah, well, so you say, Mr. Frenchy.
The name, monsieur, is Cellier. And very well, let us see. Will you match me at, say, $1,000 minimum stake per hand?
$1,000?
Oh, did you see the gentleman blanch a little, Monsieur Captain, eh? Perhaps he does not possess such stake money.
All right, monsieur. I'll match you.
What?
What time do you want to start the game?
Half an hour?
Now that's the spirit, gentlemen. And me, the best man, wins.
Can there be any doubt, Captain?
Yeah, just you hold on there, mister.
Don't think I should have said that.
Captain, I don't think you should have said that.
Well, Mrs. Wincott, it was either that or a clear case of murder. And I've got a pretty shrewd idea as to which of them two gentlemen would be the victim. Why, your husband is a positive giant next to Monsieur Cellier. He'd have had as much chance as a fly going down the plug hole.
But, Captain... Jeffrey doesn't have that kind of money to gamble with. We've only got $10,000, and we were saving that to stock the farm.
Farm, ma'am?
The property I told you about near Alton belonged to his Auntie Prue. We're going in for breeding pigs.
Pigs?
Oh, don't you just love those little baby porkers? Doesn't the sight of them just bring the tears to your eyes?
Not exactly, Mrs. Wincott, ma'am. Not those sort of tears, anyway.
Oh, I get all romantic when I think of those dear little piglets snuggling up to their mommy's big fat tummy. I suppose it's the mother instinct in me. But this won't do, Captain. We got to be practical. When does the poker game start?
It has started, Mrs. Wincott, half an hour ago.
What? Oh, my goodness, but this is terrible. I must stop it before the silly boy loses all our pig money.
Well, monsieur, do you see me?
Now, don't you be in such a dang hurry, mister.
Jeffrey Wincott, don't you lose another cent.
There you are, monsieur. Full house.
Oh, Beller, what do you... Full house? What do you... You can't have a full house.
Why not, monsieur?
Because you had a full house last... Oh, Bella, go away.
Well, you can have full houses 25 times in a row. It makes no sense.
How many piglets have you lost, Jeffrey?
You are a cheat, Mr. Frenchie. You're cheating on me.
How many piglets?
I do not cheat, monsieur.
Piglets?
Never mind the piglets. Now get out of here, Bella.
Now I take the purse, correct?
What is all this piglets?
Jeffrey Wincott, you going to let him take away that? Why, there must be more than 20 piglets there. How much you got left?
Well, I don't know, Bella. Now go away. Now, I want to see them cards, mister, before you picks up that piglet purse. Now, you go back to our suite, Bella. A man can't concentrate.
There you are then, monsieur. Three aces and two tens.
This is our suite, Jeffrey. Now, will you answer me?
Then go to somebody else's suite.
Jeffrey Wincott.
I didn't see you put down them cards. You're cheating. I said you was a cheat. You got almost $10,000 out of me.
You mean you lost all our pig money? Jeffrey Wincott, you're despicable.
I warned you, monsieur, to play with an expert.
An expert cheat, you mean?
Monsieur, are you aware that men have died for less than that?
Do you challenge me, mister?
No. You are indeed fortunate that I am not a violent man, else I would,
yes,
arrange something or other.
Bella, will you stop that? Bella, see who's knocking at the door, will you?
See yourself who's all at the door. I don't ever want to speak to you ever again, Jeffrey Wincott. We all's ruined. Just about everything we owned, we was about to own, was tied up in that there money. And you just toss it aside with your silly old full houses.
Look, will you come in there? Now, just you don't fret, my pretty. We're not ruined. Nothing
well,
like...
Well, how's it going there? Everything settled?
Oh, Captain Rexall, we're ruined. Ruined. This fool of a husband of mine has thrown away just about everything we own.
Not everything, Bella. We still have the land, don't we? 200 acres.
What good's the land with no money to buy stock? I'd set my heart on raising them piggies. And now... Now we don't even have enough money to buy the house.
Oh, it's all your fault, Captain. If you let me blast his brains out in the first place,
You, son, no violence on my steamer.
Hey, now, hold on there, mister. Where'd you think you're going?
Well, back to my suite, monsieur. The game is over, is it not?
You're danged right. It's not. You're not walking out of here with all my money and no chance of getting it back.
But, monsieur, you have nothing left with which to play.
I got the land.
No, Jeffrey Wincott, don't you dare.
You be quiet, Bella. Did you hear? Now, mister, what do you say? There's 200 acres of good farmland and all that's on it against what you took off me in your pocket.
Sounds good to me.
You just keep out of this, Captain Rexall, sir. It was you and your card games got us into this mess in the first place. Now, just you get back to driving your boat.
Ship, man. And you don't drive, you steer. Now, if you all's all set against using the cards, why not use my wagering cup?
What's that?
Well, with a wagering cup, there ain't no chance of anyone cheating. Well, why don't you all come along to my cabin? I'll show you. Come along.
Now, Jeffrey, don't you go doing no more.
Oh, hush. You mean that's all there is to it? Just drink from these two little cup things?
You have it, Mr. Wincott. The upturned skirt and the upturned bowl. You hold it just like that, drink from both, and the first one to spill a drop is the loser.
Looks easy to me.
Not quite so easy, Mr. Wincott, I do assure you. Takes a mighty steady hand not to tilt one without tilting the other. But one thing you can be sure of, there's no chance of any cheating.
Very well, Captain. Fill her up. I'll wager all I have on me, $20,000 against Monsieur Wincott's farm, that I have the steadier hand.
Done.
Oh, Jeffrey, no!
Oh, hush, Bella, be quiet.
And I'll be witness to the fairness of the wager. Now, gentlemen, which of you shall go first?
You go first, mister.
Monsieur Cillier.
Very well. Hand me the figurine.
And not a drop spilled, mine, monsieur.
There is the first cup, and the second. Now you, Monsieur Wincott.
Right, there you are, Mr. Wincott.
Jeff. What was that you put in there?
Well, brandy, that's all.
Brandy? Well, I thought it was apricot cordial. I can't drink brandy. I'm a teetotal.
Not too bad, monsieur. You lose the wager. Look, there isn't a drop left.
Now, wait a cotton-picking minute. That ain't fair.
Oh, Jeffrey!
Goue vir chemiese tabak in 'n goue verpakking ontvou die goue smaakwêreld van Benson & Hedges Special Filter sigarette. Want die wêreld is vertroud met Benson & Hedges goud.
Die wêreld is vertroud met Benson & Hedges goud. Die wêreld is vertroud met Benson & Hedges goud.
Tonight, after dinner, enjoy the finest instant of your life.
Makona fine dessert coffee is like no other instant. Makona costs a little more than most instants, and Makona is made from an expert blend of rich, dark Central American beans. 100% pure coffee, with a flavor so rich you'd swear it was fresh ground.
Tonight, after dinner, enjoy the finest instant of your life.
Makona dessert coffee, perhaps the finest pure instant in the world.
If I'd known the kind of man you were, Jeffrey Wincott. My mammy warned me about marrying a man after only 3 years. These short engagements, she said.
Oh, shush. Can't you let a man think?
All you've got to think about is how we're going to live now you've gone giving everything away.
Come in.
Why, Mr. Soulier, I don't know how you got the face to come in here after what you did.
But I come to return you this. Your promissory note.
What?
I return to you your farm. Also, here. $10,000, which I won from you fairly and squarely.
What?
And from me a little wedding gift of a further $2,000.
Wow, Mr. Soulier.
Now, Mr. Wincott, do you still think I am the cheat?
Oh, no, he doesn't, Mr. Soulier. You're a saint. Do you hear? A saint! A real life saint!
Paula! Huh? Paula, will you... Hey, look, there you... Oh. I can't breathe!
Oh, Simon, I thought you were... Where's Monsieur Soulier?
Yes. And the shop and the old man, Mr. Green.
Simon? Oh, come on. Let's go and see Jack and Sue. I don't like it here.
Remember, it's the ducks who lay the eggs and the geese who lay the wagers.
Tales of Antiquity is written by Kenneth Handel and produced for Springbok Radio by June Dixon.